The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for many people, one of the most challenging aspects of Buddhist practice or mindfulness practice is that of staying with our direct experience. And perhaps even more difficult is to understand what our direct experience actually is. So most people most of the time live in the abstract. They're living in their abstract ideas of the past, the future, of fantasies. And if they are in the present moment, it's often through the filter of their abstract ideas of what's happening here, the various stories and worldviews that we carry with us about what's happening, who we are, who the other people are, what needs to happen, what should happen, what our desires are. And it's generally a pretty complicated world of because the mind has a great capacity for story-making, ideas, concepts to live by. And so it makes sense that people who are trying to negotiate their life, figuring out their life, will do it through what they think is their life, through what they think is the experience of their life. And if they think their life is this complicated story, these ideas of who they are, then it tends to stay in that realm that people are focusing. So the idea in the Buddhist practice, or mindfulness practice itself, is to step away from the concepts and come into contact with our direct experience as it's actually lived. And so the analogy I gave earlier today of the gatekeeper, that the city has a gate, has a wall around it, and if the only one gate is open, everyone who comes in and out through that gate, in and out through the city, will come through that gate. And so if the gatekeeper stands at the gatekeeper will track everything that comes in and out of the city, and can decide whether to let people in or let people out or how to relate to it. So in mindfulness practice, the idea is to keep your immediate direct experience to be the gate, or the, what we call the sense doors. Stay close to those, because it's from that that we build the more complicated abstract world that we live in. And so we stay with seeing as just seeing. We stay at hearing as just hearing. We stay at smelling as just smelling. Tasting as just tasting. And the tactile senses as just sensing. We stay right there because certainly the experience of the external world is mediated through those doors. So if you see someone, they're seeing, and then that comes in through the gate of your eye, and then in the city of your, there's a lot of people in there who are very creative, and so they'll start spinning a story about that person that you see. That person is a good person to talk to, that person's desirable, that person's scary, I don't think I should talk to that person, and on, just all kinds of ideas are built up. Some of them might be accurate and some of them are not. I suspect all of you have had the experience of seeing someone and having an idea of who this person was and first impressions, and then to find out once you spent time with the person, it was actually quite different than what it was. So by staying at the point of contact of seeing and realizing this is just seeing, it's a little bit easier to see that the mind begins making a story, making an ideas and what's going on. And then we can have more choice about what stories we pick up. Do we get involved in them or not? Do we see them provisionally as a story as opposed to this is the truth? So Buddhist practice keeps coming back to the direct experience at the sense doors. And everything that we can know in the world, at one point or the other, goes through the sense doors. And if we include the mind door, the sixth sense door, then everything that's happening all the time is going through a door, and we can be there, mindfulness practice, right at the door, tracking what's going on. So it gets a little bit more interesting, because what the tradition says is that if you can stay at that level, that realm of direct experience, at the doors where the experience is coming in and moving through, and be willing temporarily to put aside the more complicated worlds that we live in. And that's a big, tall order to ask you to do that, because wait, you know, my car needs to get an oil change. You know, I have to think about it to figure out how to get my oil changed. And what is just, you know, seeing, hearing, touching have to do with, I'm not going to get the oil changed if I stay right there. But in meditation, it's not so useful in meditation to think about how you're going to get your oil changed in your car. I don't think it's the best use of meditation time. So you want to kind of simplify back to the direct experience here, what's going on here. So if you can do that, then the tradition says that one of the very productive things to notice, be mindful of, if you're staying right there at the direct experience, is to notice whether that experience is felt by you as being either pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant. If you could notice that experience in its rawness and its immediacy has any of these qualities, that is very meaningful, because based on the pleasant, unpleasantness at that raw elementary level, layer, realm, that's where we tend to have raw, basic, amoeba-like reactions of desire and aversion. And so if we can come back to this level and learn in this practice to be willing to just stay present for a direct experience and leave the pleasant and unpleasantness of the experience alone. Just let it be. And hold it, be present for it without the reactions, without the emotional responses that might arise. This is considered to be very, very powerful. And to consider the tradition in very kind of clear instructions that this is a place of liberation. This is a place of being freed from some of the constructions and some of the reactivity that we tend to build on top of this, and that's this very simplicity of what goes on. And very explicitly in this ancient Buddhist tradition, that one of the places one of the things that you can best free yourself from at this raw kind of direct experience level, noticing the pleasant and unpleasant of the experience, it can free you from the attachment to ideas of who you are, of ideas of self, ideas of self-identity. And there's something about this very basic level, if you keep it really simple, that there's no need for to build up a self, or you see it doesn't make sense to build up a self. And what the ancient tradition said is that if you can stay at that level and really see your experience at that level, you'll notice that the pleasant and unpleasantness of experience comes and goes. It might not come and go as quickly as you want, or it comes and goes more quickly than you want, depending on how it is, right? But still, it comes and goes. And if you are using that, the raw experience and the pleasantness of the raw experience, to define who you are, your identity, then you can't really find a reliable identity in that experience. And if you can't find a reliable identity experience, then try out the experiment that in meditation, at this raw level, try out letting go of the whole self-enterprise, of having an identity. See what that's like. So the tradition, it's a tall order, all this, right? So the first step is the willingness to kind of come into the present moment. The second tall order is be willing to drop the concepts, the ideas, and stories we have that we overlay on the present moment in order so we can come into the direct sensory beginning, the kind of the genesis, where it all begins, the place of beginning with yourself. And then to begin looking into the what does it feel like, this direct experience, and as we stay with what it actually feels like, can we notice the difference between pleasant and unpleasant? And then tradition says, can you use that, at least in meditation, to free you from the tendency of the mind to always create a self, to see things always through the self-identity? As you come out of meditation, then you might pick up self in useful ways, but maybe you have more freedom of how you play the game of self, because it's needed to some degree, all that. So it's in this way that this Buddhist tradition puts a lot of emphasis on what's called the feeling tone, vedana. Are things pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant? And so you might experiment with this. See if you can get yourself down to this elemental level where your gatekeepers can do their work. And may your gatekeeper free you. So, thank you.